I think I know what you're asking. And we put together a very extensive project plan, as you would expect us to. And our expectation is that if we have come to terms and the financing is in place by the end of March, we would have the equipment ordered in April, and it would be delivered in December of next year. And first, when the equipment is made, the extruder is manufactured. Like I mentioned, it's manufactured in Milan, Italy. In April of last year, we took 6,000 pounds of material, and we ran tests using the ICMA San Giorgio extruders, utilizing the patent pending at that time, our fourth patent. And we produced the samples that you've seen, and we'll have on Sunday. People can come and touch and feel Altri and see what we're talking about. And for all intents and purposes, it takes about 11 months from 8 months to manufacture the equipment. It has to be tested. We're on site in Italy to test it. Then it's put on it's disassembled. It's put on a ship. It comes to America. It's unloaded, and it would be brought here to Hoopa Valley and unloaded at the modular facility and installed. All of that takes, from beginning to end, 11 months, 10 to 11 months. So our hope is that if we're able to place the order for our equipment by April 1st, then we would have it up and running by February 1st of 2018. So how does that affect the people of Hoopa Valley Tribe in the interim? Well, our goal, strategically speaking, is to sell all of next year's production this year. So during that 8 months that this equipment is being manufactured and tested and shipped and installed, we're going to be hiring our personnel, our executives, our sales and marketing team, and our contractors to begin working on the facility to ready it for the equipment to arrive. So we would start hiring almost immediately. There are several jobs that would be filled. So out of the 16 plus immediate jobs that would be, we expect to hire roughly 16 to 18 people in 2017, and then that number grows as we grow. So the more lines that we add, the more people that we would hire. So if we, our plans are very conservative, I'm tongue-tied. I think I've been talking too much. Very conservatively estimated to have two lines within 5 years, we would employ approximately 40 people. And those jobs run from anywhere from $16 an hour to $38 an hour. And those are that does not include people working in the forest or in the wood fiber manufacturing. So that's a whole different set of employment and hiring that would take place here in Hoopa. Is that helpful as a timeline?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there have been a number of questions about what that's going to look like when we do finally turn it on. Another area that I think has been a cause for concern for a number of tribal members and council members alike is the financing and the potential risk and what that means to the tribe, what that means to Altri, what that means to the entire overall project. If we can touch on that and sort of, provide an outlook that would sort of alleviate some of the fears and concerns that at some point that the tribe, if you will be solely or wholly responsible for the financing that's going to go into this project. I know we have spoken at length. I have a clear understanding of what's going to be happening. If we can take a moment to get into that discussion and see where that goes, I think that would be very helpful. I know we've touched on a number of issues that I hope have alleviated, you know, some of the jitters or the fears of the community and the tribal members, but I think this is one area that is also a concern. So if we can touch on that, that would be great.
I think that's very appropriate, and I'd like to start by saying we're very fortunate to have Wachovia and Michael Derry specifically helping us structure the proposal to the Hoopa Valley Tribe that is mutually beneficial both to PJ Woodlands and to the tribe and the tribal members. And I'd like to ask Michael Derry to sort of highlight what the transaction looks like and how we structured it in such a way as to alleviate a lot of the financial risk in the transaction. So, Michael, why don't I let you speak to that?
Sure. Thanks, Tony. I just want to say I've been doing economic development consulting for tribes for the last 25 years and structured a lot of transactions, financed a lot of tribal businesses. Some of them are local. For instance, the Pemé gas station down in Yurok in Klamath. That was a deal that I did. And in my consulting, tribe wants to do a project. Even if they have cash burning a hole in their pocket, they want to spend it on a project. I always tell them, go get a federally guaranteed loan and let the federal government take the risk and not you. The federal government has a loan guarantee program called the BIA Loan Guarantee Program. It's a 90% federal guarantee. So that's what you do. So if the project fails, the tribe isn't on the hook, the federal government is. And, you know, we all know from working in Indian country, why shouldn't the federal government be helping tribes? They certainly should. And we should use that program every time for any project. And, you know, that's what I'd say about that.
And now, I know while you've had, and I guess the entire team here, have had extensive discussions with the Bureau about the project, about the willingness of the Bureau to help to cover or alleviate the risk.
Yes,
for the tribe?
We have been in contact with them. It also should be mentioned that the project itself would also be eligible to procure new market tax credits, which can create about $1.6 million of cash for the project that could be used to set aside for reserves to make sure that loan's being serviced as we go through the ordering of the equipment and hiring people to sell the product and all of that. So, you know, the in my mind, you know, those numbers, the 90% guaranteed loan is a cash guarantee to a bank on behalf of the project. And should things go south, the bank goes and cashes that 90% loan guarantee in at the BIA, and they actually get that amount of money. And with that other new market tax credit money, the risk to the tribe from a financial perspective is minimal.
Yeah, and I just want to add, I've seen projects that have happened with a loan guarantee, and that's exactly what the bank does. They take their loan guarantee certificate, get 90% of their money back, and they walk away. And that federal guarantee also allows us to get probably the lowest possible rate in terms of an interest rate. Under the program, banks are only allowed to charge the prime rate plus 1%. That's the maximum that they can charge.
So I don't mean to cut you off.
Oh, that's fine.
It seems as if, though, it's that simple. The BIA loan guarantee program will guarantee 90% of the loan. Yes. That's just what it is. Which means that, heaven forbid, the project were to fail, that the Bureau of Indian Affairs would, the federal government in this case, would pay for 90% of the loan. Now, the new market tax credits of about $1.5 million is in addition to that, which puts us, what were we thinking, about 110% above what it is that we're going to need as far as cash for the project to move forward. So it seems to be that we are in a very good position and that it doesn't get much more complex than that. Now, you guys are obviously working on the financial documents and working through those details. We haven't gotten there just yet, but that is sort of the basis for us being able to move forward with the project and ensuring that the risk to the tribe is very minimal at most.
And zero cash out of the tribal coffers. So that, I think, is really important to the tribal membership. When people are saying that, you know, we're asking the tribe to put up $8.1 million, that's not necessarily totally true, right? I mean, the tribe is the tribal-owned company that you guys will create is mm-hmm. the vehicle to allow this type of financing to move forward. So...
And to follow up on that again, you're right about that. I'm glad that you brought that up. There has been a tremendous amount of concern about cash up front that the tribe will have to put forward, and in this case, we're talking about zero. And also, you know, the amount of the loan and banks' willingness and the federal government's willingness to back it or provide the funding, I think, is a testament to the potential for the business. I mean, it's not every day. It's hard to go get a loan oftentimes, and there are a number of folks who go with a business plan and are often turned down. In this case, we will be able to compel a financial institution to loan us the money, and I think that speaks to the potential success of the business.
Absolutely, Chairman. Banks are interested. In fact, the main bank that we're talking to, the loan officer there used to be a Bureau of Indian Affairs credit office. Hmm. And the boss of the current lady at the Bureau who will approve this loan, loan guarantee on behalf of the BIA, who Wally and I know very well. I've done four or five different BIA guaranteed loans for tire recycling facilities, two tire recycling facilities, two gas stations, and they always work the same. And you're right, it is kind of a simple, easy-to-use program. And I tell tribes all the time, never use your own money. Don't spend a dime of your own money if you don't have to.
Sure.
I had a question here. Based on what Wally had said earlier about talking about his dad being able to tell stories about how things were when the mills were here and how the economy was flowing and had businesses all over, and reflecting on the modular, of how, well, it didn't bring us to that same level, but that's what we thought it would do. Both of those projects probably didn't go through what you're talking about, the federal guaranteed loan.
I don't think so.
I don't think they did. And so now we're talking about a project where you're thinking about that. And you're talking about a product that you have a patent on, mm-hmm. that nobody else has.
Correct.
And so I'm wondering, what's the hurry? Why do we have a March 31st deadline to get this thing up and running and get an agreement underway by March the 1st? So in 10 to 11 months, we could be profiting 22%. I believe that's what's on the table of the profits that we haven't discussed that.
I think that the March 1st, the reference to March 1st was a hypothetical in describing the timeline for if that were the day that we were to enter into the agreement.
Okay,
sign
I understand.
The financial documents.
Okay,
that,
thank you.
That's what it is.
That clears that up.
So again, I would just suggest that the hurry, if you will, I don't think has been there. We have moved rather methodically in trying to establish that what we're going to be doing is going to be beneficial. Now, when I believe Tony first came into Hoopa, it was in the summertime. Now we're into February. We had hoped to actually have a public meeting in December, and at that time we were still working through a lot of the details, still working through a lot of how this project was going to unfold. And again, there's still work that does need to be done. There's still going to be a tremendous amount of review of the entirety of the project. What we're doing here today is to continue to offer to the tribal membership and community at large a glimpse, if you will, or a picture of what it is that we're going to be doing or hoping to do. And I know there have been a lot of questions about what is Altree, you know, what are the next steps? Are we getting ourselves into, you know, a risk that we at this point can't afford to take? And that's why we're here today, is to lay out the process that we have gone through, the process that we continue to be involved in, and the process in which we're going to end up. So there isn't a rush to get this off the ground, and we need to do it today. We've been here now for
9 months.
9 months, almost a year, putting this deal together. And again, yeah, sure, we own, Tony owns the patent, and you're right about that. Well, the rush, I guess, if we want to call it a rush, is that there's a tremendous potential to be successful and to gain a tremendous amount of profit. So, and if that's the case, there's no sense in sitting on something for an extended period of time if what we've done up until this date is put everything in place to make sure that the risks and that the information and the details are out on the table for everybody to clearly understand. And again, Sunday we'll have a public meeting. Feel free to show up. Feel free to ask any additional questions. Feel free to engage with any one of us at any time, anything related to this project, and the information will be provided. We're not trying to, you know, craft or hatch an idea behind closed doors. We're not trying to hide any information. I've been upfront. I've been open and transparent about what it is that we're going to be doing. I've offered Tony to, he's here on the radio tonight. Walter is here as well as Michael. And if we had had the meeting in December, there would have been many others. It's unfortunate that it didn't come together at that time. But I wouldn't suggest, and certainly the March 1st date was hypothetical, that we are moving forward at a rate that doesn't allow us to do our due diligence. And certainly what we've seen so far and what we've talked about and what we understand is that we are very close to being able to take the next steps in the entire process. But that's why we're here today. We're wanting to be transparent. We're going to have this as a public hearing. It will be a part of the general meeting as well for folks to be able to comment on. There will be an opportunity when it's ultimately time for the tribal council to make a decision. Now, people will know about it. People, again, we're out there promoting the product. We're out there promoting the project. We're out there letting people know that there is a tremendous opportunity and a tremendous value in what it is that we're doing. If we were to be not sure of this project or this product or the folks that we have around here today, certainly we wouldn't be here on the radio tonight. And if this was something that was going to make Hoopa or myself or anyone else the beneficiary of solely, you wouldn't likely see us here tonight or there on Sunday. But that's not the case. This is something that we're doing on behalf of the tribe, on behalf of the membership, in order to be able to certainly move forward from the Hoopa modular and that idea, but also to do what we are tasked to do, what the tribal council and myself are required to do, which is to provide a meaningful life and a living here on the reservation, utilizing our own resources, our own capacity, our own infrastructure, our own ability to do the job. We had this discussion several nights ago at the council table where it always seems to be that, you know, some folks who who are around the table tend to diminish tribal people's ability to do certain things. And I'm not in that camp. I will never be in that camp. The Hoopa Valley tribe is the most progressive tribe in the country, has always been, will continue to be. It's evidenced again by the recent FEMA agreement that has been signed, the court cases that we've won regarding the fish in the water. We're running a radio station today, the first one in California, native owned and operated. These are things that Hoopa has always been good at. And anytime you go out there, anytime I go out there, Hoopa is held in a very high regard. I don't care where you are, who you're talking to. When you talk about Hoopa, you talk about the things that we've done, people appreciate that, and they look to Hoopa for leadership. And again, we're here today. We're partnering with Mr. Tony Berger, PJ Woodlands, but Hoopa will be there. The leadership will be there. The people will be a part of that, and we'll all be in this together as a successful venture. And that's what we're trying to accomplish here. We're trying to be as open as possible because we believe in what's happening. We believe in the product. We believe in the group that we've assembled, and we believe we're going to be successful.
I appreciate that. I'm actually, that put me, my mind, more at ease, because from the press releases I originally saw, it was like, hey, this is a done deal, and we walked into it and it was decided already. And so if we have more time, this is a great product, we got the patent, we need to do more due diligence. I don't know if we have invested in an independent research on this. I have no idea, because that hasn't been presented, and that will take time. There's a lot of things that still haven't been talked about, and believe me,
I am a student of history of the tribe. You know, I surround myself with people who have vast knowledge of the history of the tribe and the decisions that have been made for back to 1864 and prior, and I have I understand what happened with the Hoopa Modular, and I understand the establishment and the development of that business and that structure, and we'd all be foolish to not take that lesson in history, and myself in particular as the chairman of the tribe, and not look at that and say we don't want to do that again. But we also don't want to use that as a source of fear or a source of you know, an inability to move forward when something is presented to us that has the potential to be very successful. And again, if we wanted to move this process forward sooner, we probably could have. But we don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to put the tribe in a position where we're going to go down that same road of the Hoopa Modular. And you can name a number of other businesses as well, but the Hoopa Modular is the one that's the most glaring. So we're going to take that experience and that lesson in history and apply it to what we're doing today in order for us to be successful. And if it's the development of the business, the management structure, again, we're also talking about the grocery store and how that's going to be run, who's going to operate that to ensure that that's also a success. Because there is the Harvard Indian Law Project study that says that tribal governments shouldn't be running businesses, and that's very well proven. And I'm sitting here today saying it is very difficult, and we don't want to be in a position where I'm sitting over there or the tribal council is sitting over there trying to dictate all of what's happening in these businesses, because that doesn't work. Now, do we have a responsibility for oversight and regulation, those types of things? Absolutely. Absolutely, that's the case. But in advance of that, we're putting together a team that we feel and we know we'll be successful. And again, we're going to be doing our due diligence. And as soon as these documents are finalized and complete, there will obviously have to be a review. It's not going to be a situation where the tribal council, and you've seen it before, you come in with a basic contract on the table, and it's, I'm going to hire, you know, so-and-so for doing radio promotions and whatever it is. The first question out of the tribal council's mouth is, has it gone through an attorney's review? Has this gotten legal sign-off? Just a basic template contract. So to suggest that we're not going to do that, or somehow going to stub our foot in on that in particular, that's not what we're going to do. And you can be assured that once this all comes to the table, that there will have been an extensive review, an extensive research on all of the things that we've talked about. Because when somebody comes up and say, hey, you're going to be burning plastic down there, Mr. Chairman? That's not, I'm not going to be okay with that. Are you out of your mind? I'm not going to sit back and say, well, we're not burning plastic. I don't even know what you're talking about. We're going to research to ensure that whatever it is that we're going to be doing, in this case, heating it up to the point of it being soluble with wood fiber, is safe for our community. That's what, again, Wally said in, at the outset. He's not interested in bringing something up here to pollute the water or pollute the air or to cause harm to the tribe. We all have to come back here. We all live here to say, hey, next time he comes into town, we look at him and say, gosh darn, thanks for that. Thanks for that. That's not where we're going. But again, I'd like to just, again, illustrate that there are tremendous opportunities that are going to be presented to us as a result of this project. And we haven't gotten into, you know, future investments, the refurbishing of the building and getting it back up to a place where it originally was, and retooling it for some additional you know, industry and products that could come out of it, national, international investments, other businesses that will spawn as a result of that. We talked about it a little bit, but I think that once folks have a more clear picture of what's going to be happening, the fears will certainly be alleviated.
I agree with that, absolutely. In my 70 years, I've witnessed a lot of stuff. And one of the things that I witness is that we sometimes get into positions where we just don't have the time to do things right, but we certainly have enough time to do them over and over and over and over. So to do it right, you have to back up and stop and let's do some studies. Because if you want to go fast, you first have to go slow.
And Joe, let me plug into that, because that's a great point. And I've heard one comment that came back to me is, oh, well, your company's only been around for 2 years. I mean, so how on earth can you be ready to come in and build this successful business? I think it's very important that people understand that This project really started in 1995. And so we've been in research and development for 22 years. Okay, now, is it possible that Altri could have been launched 20 years ago and could be, a multi-million dollar or billion dollar company? Yeah, that's possible. But that's not the case. And certainly since I've been in charge and have owned this intellectual property, we have been very diligent and very methodical and very deliberate, even in deciding to come and talk to Hoopa. We could be talking to Navajo in our own backyard. Why are we talking to Hoopa? Okay, so there's a process that we also went through. And getting back to what Michael Derry said about finding a lender, banks care about one thing, in my experience, money, and they want to protect their money. And for us to have a major nationally recognized bank interested in funding a project that is a collaboration between PJ Woodlands and the business plan that I've presented to Hoopa and the Hoopa Valley Tribe as partners, that in and of itself, I think, is a testimony to the amount of work and diligence and careful study and analysis. And correct me, Michael, if I'm wrong, but we heard directly from the banker's lips that our plan, that the PJ Woodlands plan for the Hoopa Valley Tribal Company was one of the most carefully crafted and fully researched plans that they had seen in a long time.
That's what they said.
And I'm not looking for an attaboy or a pat on the back. I'm just looking to do business and doing it socially responsibly.